You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 63 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, March 18th, 2009. PDFs and potlucks. Well, it's that time again, time for the Wells Tech Podcast, a show where we talk about things, all things technology, and especially those things that may have an impact on your ministry. Joining me on the St. Patrick's Day, Sally Draper. Sally, are you any Irish in your blood?
Actually, no Irish in my blood, but I have a sister whose birthday is today. So we always had green cake and green ice cream on this day.
Oh, beautiful.
Very special memories.
Okay. Got no Irish in me. I've got English blood, so maybe there's some actually built-in tension, but I am wearing green today. So just to cover it, as our longtime listeners know, we record the show the day before it goes out, so most of you are maybe listening to this on Wednesday, but we're recording it on Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day. I'm excited about the show today, Sally. We are going to be wall-to-wall PDFs. And if you don't know what PDFs are, this is the show to listen to. You will have your fill of PDFs. There's actually an application called PDF Fill, isn't
PDF
there?
Fill. Ooh, I need a drum roll.
Nice transition,
there.
I think.
I was thinking this morning, Martin, about Lutheran potlucks and how our podcast is like a potluck, because when you put a potluck out there, you just hope for the best, and it always turns out good. And that's kind of what we do. We talk about the topic a little bit in planning, and then we both work on it individually, and hopefully we both bring to the table some good stuff that's going to be useful in terms of PDF information for our listeners.
And a staple at every good Lutheran potluck is what color, Jell-O?
Well, I guess it had to be green
Jell-O
today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So we are going to talk about PDFs, the portable document format from Adobe. I think there's many applications for this, and probably many of our listeners are very familiar with PDFs, but there's been a change recently in the number of applications that are out there supporting PDF, especially the ability to convert and optimize and merge and read. And we're going to talk about why that is the case in just a minute. But maybe we should talk first of all about PDFs in general. What are PDFs?
Well, I think, you know, a good way to emphasize it here is that they're portable, they're easy to share documents, and basically they're readable on any platform. So you don't have to have specific software besides the PDF reader, which is very universal,
right,
in order to make use of them. So software independent, multi-platform, easy to share documents.
Yeah,
would be
whether
a good
you're
way to
Windows,
define it.
Mac, Linux, even mobile phones, there is a PDF reader for everybody. And Adobe kind of was the inventor of the format, and it's gone through many iterations. It was created way back in 1993. That's in technology years. That truly is ancient history. As you mentioned, it's a portable document format. It was really created as a way to share files where everybody could read them, regardless of what systems they were using or even what kind of hardware they were using. And it kind of took off. And I don't know if Adobe really figured that it would, but it's become the de facto standard for document sharing on the internet. And we've encouraged our listeners to consider using PDF over and against things like very proprietary tools like, let's say, Microsoft Word, where not everybody would have a Microsoft Word installation so that they could read it, or WordPerfect, or you name the flavor of the application that you're writing these things in. So PDFs are kind of the solution for this. It grew out of, and this is getting a little bit more technical, it grew out of a technology called PostScript, which is predominantly used for printers, whether they be a desktop printer or a commercial printer, would take a PostScript file, which is a language, and basically print that stuff out based on the instructions in the PostScript file. PDF is a variation of that, a simpler variation, but again, a more portable variation. And something important happened the mid last year, I think it was July of 2008, where PDF became what's called an open standard. And that's significant because, like other open standards, it really opened up the fact that there was going to be a format that everybody could rely on and code against. And as a result, we saw a lot of these tools spring up last year around this open standard now called PDF. XML, some of you are familiar with the term XML. That's an open standard. HTML is an open standard, which allows the web to exist because people can count on HTML being the foundation of web pages. Now with these kinds of documents, we can count on the PDF format being an open standard, which has now a governing board that says the next approved version of PDF will be a standards-based or standards-compliant set of instructions that everybody can count on and then build tools and applications. So I think there's going to be a real boom, even a greater boom in PDF tools, and I think PDF will be the winner and will be the winner because PDFs will get lighter. The formats will become more standard. There'll be more things that you can do. And one of the things that you can do right now with PDFs is embed different kinds of applications. And Sally, we're going to share actually our show notes, the ones that Sally and I actually look at, or the one I'm looking at right now while we do the show, to you in a PDF format, right?
That's right. What do you call that? Unplugged. We're going to share it
We're
all.
We're
going
to throw the curtain open, and
yeah.
You're going to see behind the scenes of the Wells Tech podcast, all the little cheat notes that we have that make up this show. I know all of you felt that this was totally shaken out of our sleeves, and probably half the time it is, but we do actually have a structured mind map that we're going to embed in a PDF for you. So let's talk about a little bit of the features of a basic PDF file.
Well, certainly we're all familiar with just having something in text format, mm-hmm. maybe including some images and things, something that would look like a Word document per se. But you can have links in your PDFs. You certainly can have a sidebar with a table of contents that allows people to jump to different sections of your PDF. Your PDF can be a form, and that's one of the things that's really prominent. Think about your income tax forms that you can download from the internet, from the IRS website. The fact that it doesn't have to just be a simple Word document, that it can be something created potentially in some really complex software, but then turned into this shareable format that completely retains, you know, all of the components of the file and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we've talked about in the past, Martin, that PDFs have become searchable by desktop search tools and things like that. So lots of power there with digitizing some of your paper mm-hmm. in your office and turning it into a PDF format just for archival purposes.
Right. A lot of the search engines, Google, the Google desktop that we recommended some of our users, some of the Microsoft products now all have extensions that will search through those PDFs. And you mentioned the OCR capabilities that now if you're just scanning in, it'll be smart enough to recognize a lot of the characters in there. Makes it far more usable. And with the mountains of information that we have, it's important that we can search within our documents rather than just remembering where we put it or relying on the file name itself or the date that we created it, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm overwhelmed, so I can't rely on that. It's not an option. So.
Yeah, even when I only had a few documents to deal with, I was overwhelmed. So,
yeah.
All right, the how-tos of the creation and maybe some of those folks that are just readers of PDFs and maybe not creators would be wondering, well, can I create a PDF?
And they absolutely can. Typically, you're going to start with your your root file, you know, if that's a Word document or an Excel file or whatever it is. And one of the simplest things you can do is basically print that file to a PDF format. So instead of printing it to a printer, you can print to PDF, and whatever would have come out of the printer would be saved in a PDF format. But you can get a lot more advanced than that. You can, you know, do all those kind of editing things, embedding links and adding tables of contents and things like that. And in the past, it's always been that you needed the Adobe software to do that, not the Adobe Reader that's free, but the actual professional software for creating PDFs. And currently, that's Adobe Acrobat version 9, mm-hmm. and they have three versions of it, starting at $299 and going up to $699. So not a small investment to actually own the Adobe Acrobat creation software. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much the only option for creating, you know, the more complex PDFs in the past.
The good news is that all of the Adobe products are available for academic pricing, so anybody in a school, this may apply to charities as well, you can get a much reduced price. For instance, the Adobe Acrobat 9 Pro product, you can get for under $100. So you can cut that by a significant amount. I don't even remember what the standard package is, but there are all kinds of tools that will bring that way, 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 way down, and training things and so on and so forth. So make sure that if you're interested in going the Adobe route, that you're thinking to take advantage of those. One of the academic sites that I would recommend is the academicsuperstore.com. Typically, you can find good pricing there, and it's very easy to provide proof that you are an educational institution or a student. Students can get that same price, so it's a great deal.
That's great. All right, so, but if you don't want to spend any money, there are ways to get into this PDF world for free or for very low cost. And so that was what we wanted to kind of focus on for the next segment of this discussion. Mm-hmm. Starting with, Martin, you have here reading.
Let's walk before we run.
There you go.
How do we read these suckers? PDFs are all over the place. You'll find them on many, many, many websites. We have to be able to read them. We mentioned the fact that you can go to Adobe and get a free reader. If you just go to adobe.com, there's a link on the right side of their screen where you can download the reader, and that's free. There are other ways to read Adobe or PDF documents. We probably shouldn't call them Adobe anymore because of this open standard approach. But there's one real skinny, nicely done reader called Foxit at foxitsoftware.com. I've used this for a number of months now, and I think it's probably better than Reader. They've done a nice job with the interface, and it's a little bit lighter weight than Adobe Reader, which tends to infest your system. It kind of bolts it on to Outlook if you use Outlook and all kinds of, you know, other things with your browser. Foxit is a little bit easier to on the system and free as well, although they have a paid version that'll give you a little bit more features for editing and such. Those of you that use Gmail, you maybe have already recognized that you can view PDFs right within Gmail. It opens up in Google Docs and does a nice job at formatting so that you can see right on screen, so you're not having to download anything. It basically ports it over to Google Docs, and you can open it up right there. And last but not least, on the reading side, if you are a Mac owner, you've known for years that this has been embedded in your system through the Preview application. Also does a nice job of displaying PDFs. And I should note maybe at this point that if you're using a Mac and PDF has been a format supported for a long time, you can do all kinds of things with that Preview. You can merge, you can optimize, you can encrypt. You can do all those things right within the free Preview application within the Macintosh software.
Okay. Next, I wanted to talk about how to do printing so that from any software you can print to a PDF format. And the tool that I use for this is called cutepdf.com. And it's just as simple as they get. You basically download and install the software, and then when you go to print from any place, instead of the printer that's listed there maybe as your default printer, you switch to the print driver that says Qt PDF, and it'll prompt you for where you want to save your PDF file and what you want to name it, and whatever would come out of your printer then is saved as a PDF document. We're using this one extensively at our school and in our church office because it's just so easy to do. I installed it on all the computers in the school so that the kids can create PDF versions of anything they're working on. And, you know, the price is right. It's free. And the training is minimal. You know, you just have to point them to the right printer driver in the list, and they're in business. So that's how we convert, you know, our newsletters and bulletins and things for posting on our website as we use Qt PDF.
Yeah, real paper saver, I found. You know, any receipt that I get via email, rather than printing it out, I will print to a PDF. And just store that in a receipts folder so I know that I've always got those in PDF format. And if I ever need to print them out at some point in the future, I can do so. Anybody that we're in tax season now, it's in the home stretch. Sally, your taxes done?
Oh, my taxes are done.
All right.
Yes.
I do everything online, but many of the online tax services now will print it to PDF. So I don't print my tax returns anymore. I just output them to PDF. And if I ever need to print them for student loans or whatever for my kids, I can just pull those up and print them on demand, but I don't need to store a paper copy. Obviously, you want to back up if that were the case, but PDFs work really well because they they preserve the formatting, they're lightweight, and they're portable. So I won't fear 2 years from now that I can actually read them because they are all backwards compatible with the readers of today. Mm-hmm. What about editing, Sally?
Well, this is where it got a little bit beyond my knowledge because I'm going to be honest. I just do the dead easy stuff. I don't get into a lot of the editing. And so there was a learning curve there, but I was quite impressed. I actually found a review on the Gizmo website and looked at some of the recommendations that Gizmo had. And number one on his list was PDF Fill, pdffill.com. It's a Windows-only product, and you can download a free trial and play with it. But basically, you can create comparable documents to what you would create with the Adobe software, you know, adding links, adding images, highlighting things, annotating, creating fill-in forms. Mm-hmm. So maybe your school registration form is online in PDF format or something like that. You can do all of that with PDF Fill. It does cost $19.99. They have a free trial, and I played with that some. And when I created my PDF document, it had a big, huge, dark blue watermark across the center of it that said, go to pdffill.com and buy this, you know. Mm-hmm. So, free, but you have watermark on your PDFs when you're using the free version. But yep, definitely a very capable tool and one worth checking out if you're interested in stepping up your PDF creation to include some of these more feature-driven aspects to your files.
Yeah, Foxit will also do that. If you're looking for kind of a workaround, and there's another one called Primo PDF. We'll put all of these links in the show notes so you don't have to scribble furiously. Another way to do that is there are now online tools that will take PDFs and convert them into regular old, let's say, Word documents so that you could actually do your annotations. So you pull down the PDF, you do the a lot of these are online conversions, so there's no many of them have no cost. Convert it to a Word document or an RTF or whatever. Make your annotations there and then re-PDF it, like you know, with some of these Qt PDF tools or even online conversion tools as well. So you got lots of options there. So speaking of online conversions, there are just a ton of sites, and many of these are popping up more recently because of the open standard movement, that'll convert almost bidirectionally, whether you're working in a particular format that you need to put into PDF, or you're getting a PDF and you need to convert it to another format. As I mentioned, there are these converters. Some of them, let's just pick a couple of these. PDF Online, for instance, Sal, you familiar with that one?
Yeah, I played with that one a little, and it has a lot of different options. You can, like you said, take any document and convert it to PDF. You can also upload a PDF, and it'll return to you a Word document that you can then edit. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I played with on their site, which was really cool, was just feeding it a web address, a URL, and it'll turn that website, the web page you pointed it to, into a PDF document. And really simple to use, and it's all pretty much done online, so it spits back to you immediately a file that you can download, you know, right, depending on your file size, obviously. But pretty quick process, and no local software, right, no download to your computer to make it happen. It all happens online.
Mm-hmm. I think they also provide that PDF to Word conversion I was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right.
So there, that would be one, PDF Online, Express PDF. They've got HTML to PDF, Word and Excel to PDF. And I think, let's see, PDF to Word, obviously, by the domain name, you can tell what that does, converts PDFs, mm-hmm, into Word. And media-convert.com, basically, that'll convert almost anything, right?
That's right. Not limited to documents or websites. You can upload, you know, different video formats or audio formats or whatever, and it gives you an option of how you want to download it. So it certainly covers PDF. It'll convert PDFs to RTF or text.
Mm-hmm. One thing we should talk about when we're talking about PDF, Sally, is the fact that some of these documents, if you're not quite sure what you're doing with these engines, especially like QtPDF and others, is you can get some pretty large files because they're typically, they have settings that allow you to optimize the graphics and the text or whatever. But if you're not careful, you can be creating 5 to 10 megabyte PDFs, which is defeating the purpose of the format. So you want to use some care in optimizing these documents. Most of the tools allow you to do that. One website or one tool is Nice PDF, which does some optimizing. I mentioned the Mac Preview application that also does optimizing. The Adobe products obviously do optimizing. Foxit does the same thing. But just pay attention to that when you're creating these files, because you really want to keep the file size down, because many times you're emailing these PDF files or putting them as links on your website. So if you're doing a sermon or a PowerPoint or other documents that you want to post on your website, you want to kind of keep the file size down.
So I think we've done a good job of covering the different software that's out there, and sprinkled along the way, hopefully we gave you some ideas for ministry uses of the software as well. One that I wanted to make sure and mention was, you know, the potential of using forms on your website for school registration is one that came to mind for us. That's always a big deal to gather all that information from, mm-hmm, our parents and stuff. So that might be a way that you could make use of a PDF. Certainly you want to, anything you want to put on your website, it's probably the standard that you want to adopt, unless there's a reason that you want your users to be able to edit the file. For instance, maybe you created something to share with other schools in the area and you want them to have the ability to customize it for their own use. Then it might be worth putting it out there in Word or RTF format, which is something that's more universal but allows them to edit. But for the most part, your newsletters, your sermons, Bible class materials, bulletins, all of those things are great candidates for PDFing before you put them on your website or before you email them to someone.
Mm-hmm. Now, your church, Sally, does PDF newsletters, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that is probably the biggest gain, because those tend to get a little bit thicker. And what's great about PDFs, as we mentioned, is it preserves the formatting. So you can format away, whether it be in Publisher or Word or InDesign or whatever newsletter writing tool you use. Typically, you can output to PDF through one of the tools we talked about, or maybe even built in within the software. And just a good portable format. And searchable. Google, even the online searches, will search through PDF-able documents at this point. So good stuff there.
Maybe a good time just to kind of challenge our listeners to take a look at their website and evaluate whether they're using PDF effectively, or if there's areas that they can improve, and even as simple as installing QtPDF printer drivers for your church secretary so that she can more easily create the PDFs and put things online in that format or whatever. Mm-hmm. So just a good chance to kind of reevaluate your use of PDF and incorporate it in more places on your website.
Yep, great tool and great opportunity for either savings or, you know, kind of optimizing the viewing experience for your web visitors. So lots of opportunity there. All right, well, Sally, it's that time again for our ever-popular Picks of the Week, and I assume you have one this week?
I do, and it's got nothing to do with PDF.
No, mine either. That's okay.
Shift gears a little bit. I'm actually going to point our listeners to Color Schemer Online. You can find it at colorschemer.com/online.html, and we'll have a link in our show notes. This is one of my favorite sites, and again, I'm real into the simple things of life. And what's nice about this is that you can get basically a color palette to go with any color that you have. And you can also very easily grab the it's escaping me now. The binary, is it binary? No, it's hexadecimal.
Right.
There you go. I had a brief moment of lost it there. But anyway, you can grab the hex value of the color. And why this is important is if you're trying to get a particular color on your website, you need that hex value in order to actually get the exact color that you're looking for. And here's just a quick example of how I've used it. I've figured out a color that's part of my website in red, green, and blue, the RGB value. And I just plug that value in on Color Schemer Online, and it immediately generates that hex value for me. Now, there's other ways you could generate the hex value, but this is so simple. And in addition to generating the hex value, it also gives me a whole palette of colors that go along with it. So if I'm trying to do something on my website and I want it to kind of match and not look very hokey or whatever, mm-hmm. then I like to get those colors that match well. And it's a neat place to use if you're doing mailings, if you're trying to design something, if you're working with kids in the computer lab and they're working on colors for a project, teach them about using this kind of online tool to select good colors that match and have a nice color palette to them. So totally free, very simple to use, and I encourage you to check it out.
So if you want your website to look hokey, you can just ignore this Pick of the Week. That's what
we're
saying.
That's a highly technical term.
That's
yeah.
Right. I think that's a valid point, though. A lot of us that are listeners of the Welsh Tech Podcast are responsible for our websites, and most of us are not graphic artists or people that have a great eye for color matching and what works well together. But the web has, and Web 2.0 tools like this have really made that a lot simpler to figure out what are complementary colors. All kinds of we've talked about some of these tools in the past. I think I talked about Color, K-U-L. Is there an E in there or not? I forget.
I think it is.
From Adobe that does a nice job with that as well. And they get really sophisticated, but you can just use some of the basic features to say, hey, these are the logo colors, you know, that we've got on the site. How do we match up our website so that it's complementary to that, so it doesn't it doesn't look hokey? All right. My pick of the week is not PDF related either. It's related to social networks. We've talked a lot about social networks in the past. We've talked about Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Those are the three that I participate in on a fairly regular basis, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. I've kind of set my limit. There's all kinds of other ones I could join. I said that's about as many as I can handle. In fact, that very often that's more than I can handle. So this little tool called Ping, PING.FM, is one place that I can go on the internet and update my status in all three at the same time. So it's a kind of a landing page for me, and if I want to add a status for LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter all at the same time, I go to PING.FM, and it does it for me. You can also, if you run multiple blogs and want to post, I post my blog in three different locations, one internally here in the Senate Administration Building, one on my live.com account on Microsoft, which is more public, and then one on Imprint, which is the Senate-sponsored blogging software. We use WordPress. I can enter that once on Ping FM and have it publish that blog in three different locations. Free tool, fairly recent. It hooks up to I would guess, 50 of these social networks. So if you are somebody that can't resist the temptation of joining every social network you see, you need Ping FM, because it probably will hook up to these. It'll hook up all the regular blogs or the more popular blogs, all the social networks, all in one location. Real easy to use, very free, and works really well. I've really enjoyed using it. And while we're talking about social networks, if you want to follow myself or Sally, you can easily do that on Twitter. M. Spriggs is my handle, as it were. Sally, you are?
I am Wells Tech Trainer.
Okay, and so if you want to contribute to the Wells Tech conversation, use the hashtag Wells Tech, and it will appear on the Wells Tech page, and we'll also see it. If you've got interesting topics you'd like us to talk about, go ahead and Twitter it with the hash Wells Tech tag. What's next, Sally? Wells.net feature, I think, is up next.
That's right, Martin. And today I just was excited to uncover a brand new podcast stream out on our Streams network. And I'm going to include a link to it in our show notes. It's weekly devotions in podcast format geared toward our Wells members in the military or their families. And so just something I think would be really useful for you to share with any of your members who have someone serving in the military. We have actually several be in touch by military service here at St. John's and Sleepy Eye, and what an awesome resource to share with them, to be uplifted and be, spoken to in their context, because it's very military focused. Mm-hmm. So you'll find that out on the Streams website, and it's from our military services committee, which is part of our special ministries area, and they've got a lot of cool things going on in military services. We're going to save some of those for some future podcasts, but I think you'll be excited to learn more and more about the awesome resources and things that are available for our military service folks.
Beautiful. All right. As usual, we have a stuffed mailbag of community feedback. And let's start with our good friend Dave Savatsky. He works here in the Synod Administration Building up in Home and World Missions. He works on their marketing and promotions materials. And he sent us a voicemail. So let's take a listen to Dave's voicemail to us.
Hey, Martin. This is Dave Savatsky again. Just calling, leaving you a message here to let you know that after you talked to me, was it last week, I think, about Flickr, I was able to put a Flickr account together for myself. But there was a 30-hour fast event that happened up in St. Mark's in De Pere, and I was up there just to kind of help out, and in order to share photos with the youth minister up there, his name is Tad Schubring. He's not a very technology savvy kind of guy. He's got, the whole word processing down and Excel and that sort of thing, but and email, but other than that, not real technology savvy. But I was able to share I made a private, we don't call it a set of photos. It's maybe like 50 photos, something like that, that I had took with my with the Works camera, and then I was just able to share with them, send a link, an email through the share this feature in Flickr. Got an email back from him today and said that he thought it was super cool. And he was able to use the slideshow feature right on Flickr, and he was going to play that in church because they have internet access. Now they're still raising money for the event in the month of March, so he didn't have to do anything. It made it super easy, and he was able to figure it out right there. So I think that's a big score or big plus for the use of technology. So I was pretty excited about that. I'm just trying to learn more about Flickr, and I sent you a link on Tickle links and that sort of thing. I keep hearing that, and I know you guys use them, and trying to find out more about that. I'm sure I'll have another question. It'll review. Take a listen at the podcast. Thanks for playing my last voicemail, answering some of those questions. Keep up. Thanks.
I think Flickr is super cool as well. There are lots of things that you can do with it. And again, that's what this show is about, is trying to find good uses for technology within a ministry context. And I think some of these Web 2.0 tools like Flickr have become so ubiquitous and so easy to use that even somebody that is not that comfortable with technology can pick it up pretty fast.
Yeah, that's really encouraging to hear. And, you know, it's all about the ministry efforts, and being able to share that information with his congregation was important. And if that was the ends to do that, then that's wonderful.
Go
I think
for it.
Yeah, super easy too.
Yeah, if you'd like to leave a voicemail for us, just like Dave has done the last couple weeks, it's easy to do. 414-375-2334 is the number. Just leave a message, and if you wanted to share an idea, ask a question, leave a comment, that's what that number's for.
Very good. The next comment that we had was from Lori Ashbrenner. Lori was our featured interview in last week's show, and she kind of educated us all about digital photography, and it was just really neat to talk to her. She sent us a follow-up email and said that there was something she meant to mention, you know, and that's kind of the way it goes when you do those interviews. You always think of what you meant to say after you're done or whatever. But she did want to just caution, you know, about getting people's permissions before posting their images on your church or school website. So particularly even in this day and age, potentially getting them in writing as well. And I know that's something we've talked about in the past, Martin. I remember early on we had a couple of shows where we interviewed Harvey Dunn, who's a copyright attorney and that kind of thing. And and I'm just wondering if we might need to kind of revisit that, because I do get that question a lot, and I see, unfortunately, a lot of abuse of copyright issues on church and school websites. So we probably, you know, always need to be keeping that in mind for sure, that, you know, we have the proper permissions to use the resources that we're posting out there.
Yeah, very complicated topic, but especially with pictures and especially with children, of course, that would be something you'd really want to be concerned with and make sure that you have permission.
Definitely. All right. Next, we just wanted to feature some chatter out on the Wells Tech listserv. Our listserv community has been very active lately. And one of the things they've been talking about is mass email. And there were a couple of follow-up comments to that, one of which was about the listserv product called LSoft, which is
what we use, right?
Actually, LSoft is the company, and the product is called Listserv Lite. And what was neat was that Josh Shanick from Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School said that they're using it for free because of having the school status. And they get it through NetPals, which is on the LSoft website, and we'll make sure to include a link to NetPals in our show notes. He says we currently use this product with three lists ranging from 200 to 900 addresses on each list. And through NetPals, you can either run the product on your own server or you can have LSoft host it for you. So there's my favorite price breaking point. They've got it for free, so you might want to check that out for your mass email needs.
If you're waiting for something cheaper than that, don't.
Yeah. The other comment along those lines was from Jason Patowski, and he just commented that they're using distribution groups through their Final Web email software to reach their congregation with distribution groups there. So that's another potential way to set up your mass email distribution.
Yep. Very good.
And then moving on to another topic on the listserv, there had been some discussion last week about HymnSoft and other software solutions for congregational music resources. Mm-hmm. And LJ posted some links to LutheranMusic.com, which has quite a few resources related to the Christian worship hymnal. As I looked through them, what I saw were resources for the public domain hymns that are in the hymnal.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
You can go there and purchase things from LutheranMusic.com. They have quite a bit available, so you might want to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Staying with the worship theme.
Yeah. We heard from David Schumann, who's at Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin, and he wrote to say that he was interested in developing or finding one that's already been developed, a worship primer of sorts, something that it would explain to a visitor in our congregations, you know, why and how we do the things we do during worship. And he just wondered if anything like that existed, and if not, you know, he was interested in developing it and said he would share that with us when he does. And he was, you know, thinking of something graphical, maybe with some flowcharting type things, you know, we do this and this and this. And so I'm really anxious to see, you know, how David's creativity works that out. And, you know, I can definitely see a need for that as visitors come to our congregation, just to make them feel more comfortable with the way that we worship. So
it's a liturgical playbook, right?
There you go.
Sometimes that's necessary. Even just for communion, this is what you do. This is where you go. This is how you get back to home. All right.
So you know the rule that when you visit a church and they're having communion, you never sit in the front.
That's
you've
right.
You've got to watch. Figure out what's going on.
That might not go well. All right.
Yeah. All right. One more comment, and again, this one is from Josh Shanick at Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School, and he just was following up on a listener comment that we had on our show a few weeks ago. Someone was talking about using Pandora Radio and plugging it into their iPod and playing it in the narthex before church started, and he just wanted to point out that Pandora's terms of service really don't allow for that. They allow for you to listen to it on a personal basis, but not pipe it through a speaker system to your office, or in this case to your church narthex. So be aware of terms of service and, you know, licensing and things like that, and make sure that you're using things that you have the authority to use.
Again, it gets back to that sticky copyright issue, and that would go for not just online music but even CDs and those kinds of things that you own. Anytime you are rebroadcasting, you have to consider what the copyright ramifications are if you're doing that for larger audiences, or movies, or any of those kinds of things. Sometimes we hit fair use and for educational purposes, but you have to make sure you're reading the fine print and make sure that you're within the law there. Lots
Very
of feedback. Wellstech.wells.net if you'd like to learn about all the ways that you can communicate with us. We haven't plugged our Facebook page in a while, Sally, have we?
That's right. I think we're up to about 115 members there. So that's a great place to go. If you're new to Facebook, just connect with us. There's a link on our show notes page, and you'll get weekly updates of what's going on the podcast through that channel.
Search for Wells Tech as a Wells Tech group. All right. Next week, we are going to have our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent joining us, Gail Potratz from New London, and Emmanuel Lutheran up there. And what's our subject? What are we going to talk about with Gail next week?
Easy for you to say. We are going to learn a brand new acronym, because we in Wells
we don't have enough acronyms. Pile it on.
The acronym for the week will be PLN, Personal Learning Network, and we're going to find out what it is and what's in it for you.
And do I need one?
The age-old question, yeah.
Do I need
that? How do you get one?
Okay.
All of those different angles.
You know, I need more networks, so.
Can you ping it?
Oh, well, yeah, we'll have to find out if it's on Ping FM.
Okay.
So join us next week. We also hope to have Patty Ulsberger from Lenovo. Lenovo may not ring a bell with you, but that is really the company that has kind of evolved from IBM, makers of laptops and desktops, and they're part of now our Shop Wells program. So we're going to talk about Patty, about some of the products that they have and why you might want to consider Lenovo, especially for your classroom. They have a big, and that's where Patty's expertise is in the classroom technology area, and she's going to share some thoughts there, where Lenovo's going and maybe some of the products you might be interested in considering. So tune in next week. Well, Sally, that is a wrap. We're going to keep it under an hour this week. We were an hour plus the last 2 weeks. We were just too gabby, so we decided no interview this week. We're just going to chat about PDFs and some of this other stuff, and we came in under the wire here. So before
hopefully
I
every, Hopefully everyone enjoyed our potluck, I guess.
That's right. Before I blather on past an hour, let's close it down with the music of Kevin Lersch and Cindy Bowder as they sing My Savior Jesus from the album Abide With Me. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
My Savior Jesus, who dies for me, Savior Jesus, who sets me free. In pain and sorrow, the cross you bear for me, the Son of God is crucified.
My Savior,
I trust in Thee. I trust in Thee.
My Savior Jesus.
My Savior Jesus.
I rest in Thee.
I rest in Thee.
O Lord, I love Thee.
Crucified.